Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, delivering an hour of mystery. Later on, we'll hear the story Search for an Unknown on The Whistler. But right now, a rare broadcast of the short-lived series Meet Miss Sherlock, the CBS Pacific Network broadcast from September 12th, 1946, called The Case of Wilmer and the Widow.
Jane?
Yes, Peter?
Now?
Now what, Peter?
Will you marry me now, tonight?
Oh, Peter, I'm so sorry. I can't tonight. Tonight I have to solve the case of Wilmer and the widow.
Oh. Well, it's about time. About time to meet Miss Sherlock. As smart a little gal as ever stumbled across a real live clue.
No, no. No, no. Please. Please, no!
Peter.
Well, hello, darling.
Peter, darling, let's have lunch together today.
Well, certainly, Jane. Where?
I'd like to go to Pierre's. There's so many Frenchmen there.
Frenchmen, Jane? I didn't know you preferred Frenchmen.
Oh, no, Peter, I don't, but Beth Ellis does.
Beth Ellis? Is that little screwball coming, too?
Well, certainly, Peter. She's my friend, and besides, she speaks very good French, she says.
Okay, Jane. Pierre's at noon.
Pierre's at noon, and Peter?
Yes, Jane?
Will you wear a beret?
Me? Wear a beret? What on earth?
Well, Peter, Beth's never been to a French restaurant, and I'd like to show her a real good time, sort of a French atmosphere all the way. You know what I mean, Peter.
But
Jane, oh, you are sweet, Peter, very sweet. See you at noon.
Does Monsieur wear the beret often?
No, Monsieur does not wear the beret often. Monsieur would like a table where no one can see him.
I understand, monsieur, if you will follow me. Mademoiselle Sherlock is going to join you?
Yes.
Here, I think you will find it comfortable. Perhaps an aperitif before lunch?
A tall, cold, impetuous drink of something, Pierre. Double bourbon and soda. It should be cold and impetuous enough.
Right away. Your drink? And telephone, monsieur.
Telephone? I didn't order any telephone.
A young lady is calling. Your Mademoiselle Sherlock, eh?
Hey, yourself. And bring me another double.
Oui, monsieur. Un moment.
Hello?
Peter, this is Jane. I'm terribly sorry, darling, but you'll just have to wait a little while for me.
Well, what's keeping you?
Oh, I'm tied up for the moment, Peter. You see, I'm shopping for blossoms on Broadway, only I'm not really.
That makes sense. Go on.
Well, you see, I'm really shopping for Wilmer. He came in yesterday. He wants to buy an engagement ring.
Wilmer?
Yes, Wilmer.
Of course.
It's really for the widow, Wilmer's widow.
Oh, Wilmer's widow.
Uh-huh. You see, I'm doing it for you, Peter.
For me? Oh, why, Jane?
Why, your client, silly, don't you see? Wilmer's widow.
No, I don't see, and who the heck is Wilmer?
Why, Wilmer is your client, and that's why I'm late.
Look, Jane, I don't know any Wilmer. And if I did, I'd kill him for having a name like that.
How could you know him, Peter? Wilmer's widow is really going to be your client. And you just wait at Pierre's. I'll be there right away, and then you can meet Wilmer, and I'll explain then.
I think I'm still here.
Did you wear it?
Hmm?
Did you wear the beret?
Yes.
Oh, you're so sweet, Peter. I'll be there soon. Goodbye.
Oh, nuts.
Monsieur, I believe this is my table.
Hmm? Oh. Oh. Huh?
I believe this is my table.
Oh, well, no, I don't think so. Pierre reserved it for me and my friends.
Your friend?
Yes, I am going to meet my fiancée and her friend here soon. I was just talking to her on the phone.
And your fiancée will be late.
Yes, how did you know?
It is always the way with lovers. I too am waiting for a friend.
Oh, won't you sit down? We can wait together.
Oh, thank you, monsieur. You forgive me, but do you wear the beret always?
Oh, that. No, no, not always. You see, Jane asked me to wear it today to make this girlfriend of hers feel at home.
Oh?
Kind of a give her a little atmosphere.
Monsieur, you haven't yet told me your name.
Well, my name's Peter Blossom. I'm an attorney. What's yours?
I am Yvonne.
Yvonne?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a pretty name. Very pretty name.
Thank you. life in your country is very disconcerting at times. I am not yet used to it.
Oh, you'll get used to it, I'm certain.
Oh, but you, monsieur, do not seem accustomed to it. You were rather upset when I intruded.
Oh, I was talking to Jane on the telephone. Oh. She gets a little confusing at times. She's with someone named Wilmer now. She says he's my client, and I don't know what to think.
Wilmer?
Yes, I don't know. Oh, there she is now. Jane! Jane! Stay right here. I think you'll like Jane. I'll go meet her.
Peter! You, Peter!
Right here, Jane.
Wait a minute, Peter. Wilmer's out in front getting the cab.
Come on, Jane. Wilmer can find the table himself.
Peter, I hate telling you.
Come on, Jane. There's someone over at my table I'd like to have you meet. Might help you to be on time the next time we have a date for lunch.
Peter, you did.
Did what?
The beret. I think you look so cute, but Beth Alice isn't coming. She doesn't know what she's missing.
Well, we won't talk about that. Oh, here we are. Jane, I'd like to have you meet Yvonne.
You mean the potted palm? Or is it you that's potted?
Hmm?
I don't see anyone but a potted palm. Peter, have you been...
It's funny. She was here a minute ago. She was sitting right here.
Here comes Wilmer.
Wilmer.
Oh, Peter, don't be cross. I brought you a nice new client. Wilmer's widow is wanted for murder.
Wilmer doesn't look quite dead enough to... Murder? Who? How?
Oh, it's Wilmer's friend, really. She's wanted for murdering her husband. That's Wilmer's widow.
Now, Jane, listen to me. I'm a civil lawyer, not a criminal, and I...
Well, Peter, I never said you were a criminal, but you certainly must be civil to Wilmer.
Oh, Jane.
You, Wilmer, over here. Wilmer, right here. Well, it's this way, Peter. I met Wilmer this morning right after I telephoned you. And
Perhaps I'd better explain, Miss Sherlock. I don't think Mr. Blossom quite understands what our connection is.
Please do, Wilmer.
Well, you see, Mr. Blossom, I was... pardon me, but do you wear it all the time?
No!
Peter, Wilmer's only trying to tell you about his widow.
Go on, Wilmer.
Yes. The widow of T.P. Randolph is a special friend of mine, and I'm afraid she's wanted for murder.
Murder?
Yes.
Who's murder?
Mr. Randolph's murder. You see, Peter, they found Mr. Randolph in a car this morning, parked in front of a bar called the Manhole. Someone had shot him, and now they can't find Mrs. Randolph anywhere.
Well, now, isn't that nice?
Oh, no, it's not nice at all. They've been looking everywhere for Mrs. Randolph, and I'm frightened.
Where is she?
Well, I don't really know. You see, the police found her fingerprints all over the steering wheel of the car.
Whose?
Wilmer's widow, Mrs. Randolph. You see, Peter, Mr. Randolph was a very rich man, and Mrs. Randolph would get all his money if he were dead.
Oh, yes, but she really couldn't have anything to do with it. Not for money.
Money, Wilmer, is a very good motive for murder.
Then you think Wilmer's widow is guilty?
Mm-hmm. Very guilty.
But, oh, dear, she couldn't be. She's not that kind of a girl. Not Yvonne.
Who?
Why, Yvonne. Yvonne Randolph.
Will you take the case, Peter?
Yvonne. Just a minute, Jane. Wilmer, what does Yvonne look like?
Oh, she's beautiful. I remember the first time I saw her in a flame-red dress that seemed to set the sparkles in her hair.
French accent?
Why, yes. How did you know?
Never mind. Wilmer, I'll take the case.
That's wonderful of you, Peter.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Blossom.
And when can I meet your widow, Mrs. Randolph?
Oh, I know she'll get in touch with me pretty soon. I handled all of Mr. Randolph's money. Yvonne loves money.
I'm sure she does.
Peter, do you think you can help Wilmer's widow?
Maybe. But, Wilmer, I'll have to surrender her to the district attorney's office as a matter of form, after I've talked to her.
Oh, I understand perfectly. I'll let you know as soon as she shows up.
You can trust Peter, Wilmer.
Oh, I hope so.
Did you say Mr. Randolph was killed in front of the manhole?
It's a bar or something over on the Bowery, Peter. Mm.
I must get back to my office now. You'll excuse me.
Of course, Wilmer.
Yes. By the way, Miss Sherlock, when you find that ring we were looking for, will you have this engraved on the inside? Here.
Oh, yes, Wilmer, I'll take care of it. Goodbye.
So long.
Goodbye.
Funny little guy. Yeah, I wonder...
Peter! Come on, we've got to get busy.
But I can't do anything until Wilmer finds Mrs. Randolph, Jane.
Oh, yes, we can. We can find a murderer. The Manhole. Isn't that a nice name, Peter?
Oh, sometimes, Jane. I wonder why I let you get...
It's awfully dark for the afternoon in here, Peter.
Yes, isn't it? Might as well go to the bar. Bartenders usually know everything.
A charming afternoon, folks. What'll it be?
Two bourbons, Peter?
No, that'll be fine.
A very exemplary choice. I'll fetch him forthwith.
Forthwith?
Forthwith.
Oh.
An advice I love.
Peter, we'll have to ask him what happened this morning.
Mm.
I took the liberty of bringing you an afterthought of ginger ale.
Well, that's very sweet of you.
Be anything else?
No.
Pardon me, sir. Is the barret a standard part of your costume?
Hmm? Oh.
The barrette.
Oh, the barrette. No, I wore it for a friend.
I see. Greater love hath no man.
Now, see here, you
are... Peter's sensitive about the barrette.
Understandable.
We are wondering if you were here this morning when they found the body of Mr. Randolph in front.
I not only was here, I found it. I know nothing of the affair, and it's not my fault someone was crass enough to park a corpse in front of my shop. And furthermore, my business is not talking, but selling booze. Another brother?
Ever hear of a girl named Yvonne?
I repeat, I know nothing. Perhaps I better attend to my wake in the back. Call me if you need.
We didn't get very much information from him, did we, Peter?
Not much.
He just refused to talk. I'll bet he knows something.
I know something.
Oh, who are you?
That is unimportant. You know Yvonne?
Yvonne? I don't know her. Do you know Yvonne?
What is this?
What I do know is this. You want to keep your health, you forget about Yvonne.
Why, Captain Dingle.
Jane Sherlock, what are you doing
here?
Well,
Peter and I just dropped in for a drink, didn't we, Peter?
Yes, that's all.
Hello, Miss Sherlock, Mr. Blossom. What's new? You solving any murders today?
They haven't got any to solve. They're all solved.
What do you mean, Captain Dingle?
Just what I said.
You mean you've already solved the Randolph killing? The one that happened this morning?
All taken care of, Kitty. It's not a thing for you to do.
But that can't be Dingy.
Jane, please don't call me Dingy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who murdered Randolph?
Yvonne Randolph, his wife. She killed him, drove him here, parked the car, and left him.
But are you sure?
Very certain. Her fingerprints were all over the steering wheel. You know, Jane, I had a feeling you and Peter would be snooping around here. For once, you're too late to butt in. It's all sewed up.
Yep, all sewed up. Not a stitch showing.
Even Tollison knows.
Right, Chief.
Well, where are you holding Mrs. Randolph?
Well, we haven't had time to find her yet.
Oh, I see.
Well, Captain Dingle, Peter and I were just dropping by. You see, we wanted to get a little information.
Information? What kind of information?
Peter's taken a new case. He's Mrs. Randolph's lawyer.
He's what?
I'm her lawyer.
Oh, you are, you?
Jane, what's going to happen now?
Well, you picked a swell case to switch to criminal law on. You'll never get her off. We got her dead to rights.
The Manhole's a very interesting place.
Any place is interesting that has a dead body parked in front of it in the morning.
No, the most frightening man spoke to Peter and me while we were in there.
Oh, if you mean the bartender, Miss Sherlock... He is a little screwy, isn't he?
Strange is a better word.
I don't mean the bartender. There was another man. He was wearing a beret, just like Peter's.
Oh, yes. I meant to ask you about that, Peter. Is it comfortable?
Dingle, I dislike
scenes,
but... It
wasn't as cute as Peter's. This man was tall and kind of skinny with a scar on his face.
Hey, Chief, that's...
Shut up, Tollison. Did you say he had a scar on his face?
Yes, the poor fellow must have run into a plate glass window or something in his time.
That was Andre Petitjean.
Who's Andre Petitjean?
Oh, just one of our prize suspects, that's all. Which way did he go?
I don't know. He was in the bar a minute ago.
Get in there, Tollison.
Right, Chief.
What's he got to do with this?
Nothing, only he was a great friend of Mrs. Randolph's and tried to swindle her husband with some phony invention. We think he was in on it.
Well, what makes you think that?
Mrs. Randolph was seen with him three or four times in the Markham Grill. We found that out. They used to meet there. She only married Randolph for his money.
The Markham Grill?
Yeah. You two might have let our prize suspect get away. We'll find Mrs. Randolph sooner or later, but Andre's clever enough to slip out of town. Why didn't
you... But, Dingy, we didn't know he was important.
He was important, and don't call me Dingy.
No one in sight, Chief. Barkeep doesn't speak very good English. Chief, what's a fort with?
Well, he's got away. Come on, Tollison, let's get back in there. I'll make this bartender talk if it's the last thing I do.
Come on, Peter, we'll go
through
it.
Oh, no, Jane. Let Dingle take care of that.
But, Peter, they're going to try to find out about André Petitjean.
So are we, Jane.
Well, then come on, Peter, let's go in the manhole.
No, we're going over to Markham's. I've got to protect my client.
Peter, you're going about this case the wrong way. Why did we go to all the trouble of questioning the head waiter at the Markham Grill?
We kept our health, didn't we?
Well, yes.
And
but
we don't know where André would be.
Homer's back.
Yeah, we'll soon know.
I wonder if he found Mrs. Randolph yet.
Mrs. Randolph is the kind of woman you don't just find, Jane.
Huh? What do you mean, Peter?
Blondes like Mrs. Randolph are a rare vintage.
Oh. Hmm. Wilmer Waldo, public accountant and business affairs. Wonder what that means, Peter.
A high-priced business agent. People like Randolph often use him to handle their money.
Oh?
And this is probably what he did for him. And Jane, if you need someone to help you handle your money, you have to have a lot of it.
I suppose so, but...
Yeah, Wilmer's the type.
Yes, isn't he? Type for what, Peter?
Oh,
you think maybe Wilmer's hiding Yvonne under his desk?
Wilmer's probably hiding plenty.
Doesn't look like anyone's here, Peter. I wonder what could have happened to Wilmer. He was such a nice little man. He wouldn't...
Oh, it's you too.
Yes, Peter and I want to see you, Wilmer.
Hi, Wilmer. What took you so long?
I came as fast as I could. I was in the files.
Right in the drawer?
Jane.
Come in.
Hmm. You have a nice office, Wilmer. A little bit unlike you.
Oh. Do you think so?
Oh, red plush leather chairs and chromium lace.
I like nice things.
Of course you do, Wilmer. Where's Yvonne?
I don't know, Mr. Blossom. I haven't seen her yet.
Wilmer, Peter and I haven't got
Let
quite...
me handle this.
Now, Peter, you...
Look, Wilmer, I don't think you've been telling me all you know.
Oh, Peter, that isn't nice. You shouldn't talk to Wilmer that way.
And why?
Well, can't you see you've upset him? And besides, you're bigger than he is, Peter.
Yeah, but I have told you all I know. Yvonne Randolph is wanted for her husband's murder.
Look, Wilmer, do you know André Petitjean?
André... No, I don't think so.
He's a Frenchman from France.
Oh.
Yes. He talked to Peter and me today. He seemed to know Mrs. Randolph very well.
He did. I mean, he did?
Very well. In fact, so well that when Jane and I went to the manhole to try and get a little information from the bartender... He walked over and told us to forget all about Yvonne.
Oh, dear, that's terrible, terrible. I wonder what connection he has with all this.
We're wondering the same thing, Wilmer. Are you sure you don't know André Petitjean?
No, I don't think I do.
You said that once before.
Peter.
This has all been very trying.
It's going to be more trying any minute now.
What do you mean?
Wilmer, Peter and I went over to the Markham Grill before we came here.
The Markham, on West 45th Street?
The same.
Oh, I've been there. They serve awfully nice steaks.
Yes, Wilmer.
You were eating dinner rather early, weren't you?
We weren't eating dinner.
Well, my goodness.
We were talking to the head waiter, as a matter of fact.
Alonzo, yes. Oh, he's an awfully nice fellow. I know his mother, too. She's very nice.
Everybody's just fine.
Do you know what Alonzo told us, Wilmer?
No. What?
That he saw you and André Petitjean having dinner together there the night before Mr. Randolph was murdered.
Well, so I did.
So you did. Didn't you just tell us you never heard of André Petitjean?
Well, I hadn't really. Oh, dear, you're confusing me again.
Peter, be quiet.
Oh, nuts. Petitjean is wanted by the police. Wilmer isn't wanted. Mrs. Randolph is wanted. Wilmer remembers. He doesn't remember. No one knows anything. Who am I?
Well, you're Peter Blossom, and I'm going to marry you.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Oh.
Wilmer, how did you get to know André?
I met him at Mr. Randolph's laboratory on 39th Street. He was a very nice chap.
I knew he would be.
Yes. He was a friend of Mr. Randolph's, come to think of it.
He was a friend of Mr. Randolph's?
Uh-huh. He had an invention he was trying to interest Mr. Randolph in. It was something for reclaiming wool.
Did Randolph buy it?
Oh, dear, no. I advised against it.
I see.
Did Randolph usually go by what you said, Wilmer?
Always.
Your memory isn't any good, Wilmer, but I want to know how André knew Mr. Randolph.
Well, André knew Mrs. Randolph in Europe before she met Mr. Randolph. In Paris, I believe.
And Mr. Randolph married her, and they came to the United States, and then André showed up with his invention.
And I told Mr. Randolph not to buy it.
Oh.
I haven't seen André since. He was pretty
pretty angry.
Naturally.
Well, you see, he and Mrs. Randolph were good friends once. And then Andre came here and looked them up.
And tried to sell Mr. Randolph an invention.
Yes. Mr. Randolph didn't like him. He thought that,
What do you think, Wilmer?
That maybe Mrs. Randolph and Andre were beginning to like each other again. Mrs. Randolph was like that.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder the police are looking for Andre. They think he and Mrs. Randolph...
Oh, they'll never find him. Miss Sherlock, did you find the ring yet? I want it to be just right.
The ring? Oh, the ring you hired me to buy for you yesterday.
Yes. And don't forget the inscription.
No, no, I won't. You gave it to me earlier.
Getting married, Wilma?
Yes, as soon as I can.
Who to?
Oh.
What is it, Jane?
Oh,
dear. Oh, dear.
Get out of the way, Wilmer. I'll take her out in the air. All right, Jane. You weren't a very good actress.
Why, Peter, we found out everything we wanted to know. There wasn't any more.
Oh, Jane, I was just beginning to get some information.
We found out the important thing.
We did? I mean, did we? What?
Where Yvonne is hiding.
Huh? Oh, wait a minute, Jane.
Right here, driver. Wait for us, driver.
Hey, what is this? Where are we?
Come on, Peter.
Now, look, Jane, I don't mind wearing a beret for you. I don't even mind meeting Wilmer and getting a client I don't want. But why the alleyway?
Don't you see, Peter? This is that laboratory of Mr. Randolph.
That's just dandy. So what?
Remember, Wilmer said he had the laboratory on 39th Street. This is it.
And what has this to do with Yvonne?
She's hiding here.
Huh?
Yvonne Randolph is hiding here. I just know it.
Oh, Jane, for God's sakes, what
Oh,
the...
good. The door's not locked.
Jane, will you please tell me what makes you think Yvonne Randolph might be hiding here?
Where else could she hide, Peter? Don't want to let anyone know we're here.
Jane, where are you?
Right here, Peter.
Oh, I can't see a blasted thing.
Can you find a light switch or something?
No, I can't even find myself. For heaven's sake, Jane. We don't wind up in jail for housebreaking or something before this day's up.
Did you hear something?
No, not a thing.
Have you a match?
Yeah, just a minute. Oh, there.
There's a light switch, Peter.
Oh, good.
I'll turn the lights on. And...
Jane.
Oh,
what is it?
It's Andre. Andre Petitjean.
Oh, and full of bullet holes. He's dead enough to pass coroner's inspection.
Oh, Peter, it's horrible.
You had a good hunch, darling, but it looks like we found the wrong person.
For Andre.
Well, I guess there's nothing to do but phone homicide and let them know about this. Maybe there's a telephone in the other room.
Peter, what is it? Have you found Yvonne?
Yes, you found Yvonne.
You killed Peter.
Oh, no, little one. He is not dead yet.
What do you mean?
It's not quite obvious. A life for a life. That saying is known in every country.
But Peter didn't kill anyone.
What about my Andre? What about him? He is dead, and you and this man killed him.
No, you're wrong. We found him dead. We didn't kill Andre. Really, we didn't.
I loved Andre, and now he is dead. Nothing else matters.
Don't shoot, please. We came here to help you. We really did.
Help me? Why?
Peter's your lawyer.
My lawyer? What could a lawyer do for me? I'm wanted for murder. The police are looking for me even now. I never loved my husband, but I did not kill him.
You and Andre tried to swindle him?
Yes.
Who killed him? Oh, Wilmer.
Please drop your gun, Yvonne.
You?
Yes, it's me. Drop your gun, Yvonne.
Be careful, Wilmer.
You... You murderer, you!
Wilmer, a murderer?
Yes, he killed my husband.
I had to, Miss Sherlock. He was in the way.
Oh, Wilmer.
And now I'm going to have to kill you too. Oh, and Mr. Blossom. Too bad. He was so nice.
But why?
I went to all the trouble of killing Mr. Randolph, and then this Andre Petitjean came along. I might have known...
Known what?
I could never love anyone but Andre.
I made the mistake of loving you, Yvonne, and now I'm going to
kill... You killed my Andre.
But, Yvonne, I had to.
You beast!
Oh, Yvonne, don't cry. I'm awfully sorry. See, I'll kill you now, and then you won't feel badly anymore.
Get
him, Peter! Don't do that! Say one more to fix it, Wilmer! Not bad, Jane. I learned that in law school.
Oh, Peter, I didn't know you were so muscular.
You are wonderful, monsieur.
Oh, you. Look what you did to my head.
I am very sorry. I apologize.
Oh, that's all right. It was nothing. Oh.
Oh, my goodness. Peter's fainted. Feel better, darling?
Oh, I think so.
I was lucky you came, too. Wilmer was going to start shooting everyone.
Well, all right, Peter. Jane, you've scooped me again. Mrs. Randolph's in the clear, and we're booking Wilmer for both murders.
Chief, I don't quite know how all this happened. We were looking for Mrs. Randolph, and then...
Tolleson, will you please stick to nothing but holding them once we get them? Let me handle the catching.
Okay, Chief, but I...
Tolleson.
Right, Chief.
We were pretty good, huh, Dingle?
You were great. How did you get mixed up with those two, anyway?
You see, Jane and I were going to have lunch together at Pierre's. It's a French restaurant.
Of course.
Only I had to do some errands, and I was late because of Wilmer. I was buying him an engagement ring.
Because of Wilmer.
Mm-hmm.
Jane, how did you meet Wilmer?
Well, it was him I was doing the errand for. And then I hired Peter to be Mrs. Randolph's lawyer.
Chief, I...
Tolleson, please. Go on, Jane.
And I phoned Beth Ellis, and she told me she couldn't make luncheon after all.
Chief, tell me frankly, are you with Miss Sherlock?
Always. Go on, Jane.
So I telephoned Peter, and I... Captain Dingle, are you sure you're with me?
Jane, I've gone through this so many times, it always comes out sooner or later.
Well, Peter and I called on Wilmer at his office, and Wilmer told us about the laboratory. And then I remembered what Wilmer wanted inscribed on his engagement ring.
Go on.
And I told Peter I had a headache.
Go on, Jane.
And then we found Yvonne.
Oh, that does it. Please now, Jane, please, will you try to make some sense? Please, just this once.
Yvonne thought we'd killed Andre, but we didn't. Wilmer killed him right after we saw Andre this morning at the manhole, and
Jane,
then...
Jane, just a minute. How did we actually get tangled up in all this?
A $64 question.
Well, don't you see?
See what?
Yeah, Miss Sherlock, I don't think...
You never did.
Right, Chief.
Well, Dingy, I...
And don't call me Dingy.
I thought I told you the ring was going to be inscribed from W to Y.
So what, Jane?
Well, Wilmer wanted to marry Yvonne. He ordered an engagement ring for her yesterday before Mrs. Randolph was a widow.
Jane, it's so good to sit down.
Does your head still hurt, Peter?
Not when you rub it that way, Jane.
I feel kind of sorry for Wilmer.
You have the oddest sense of sympathy, Jane.
He killed everybody to marry Yvonne and then...
And it didn't work.
Peter!
Yes, darling?
Come on, we've got to get started.
Get started? For where, Jane?
Pierre's. We're meeting Beth Ellis for a midnight dinner.
Oh, no, Jane,
but
not
we
that.
We are, Peter. She's expecting
us.
And Peter...
Yes, Jane?
Wear your beret. Beth will love it, please.
Oh, here we go again.
Oh, it's that way all the time with Jane and Peter, especially Peter. How would you like to wear a beret? Well, next week, Jane doesn't make Peter wear a beret, but they do get involved with a big game hunter who says he's being hunted in the case of the pink elephant. So be with us next week at this same time when you meet Miss Sherlock. Meet Miss Sherlock, produced by Dave Vail, written by Don Thompson and E. Jack Newman, with original music composed and played by Milton Charles, is presented from Columbia Square in Hollywood. Murray Wagner speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Meet Miss Sherlock on Tuned to Yesterday from the CBS Pacific Network, heard on April 12, 1946. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for an episode of The Whistler from April 7, 1955, repurposing the Adrian Gendeau story called Search for an Unknown, first heard on October of 1948. William Conrad, who was at the time starring as Marshal Matt Dillon on Gunsmoke, is leading man next on The Whistler.
presented by the United States Air Forces in Europe.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadow. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Tonight, transcribed, it's the Whistler's strange story, Search for an Unknown.
The tall, dark-haired man and his companion moved away from the bar, crossed the cocktail lounge, and stopped before the huge windows to gaze out over the city. As they stood there, watching the flickering lights across San Francisco Bay, the girl unconsciously began toying with the shiny new wedding band on her fingers. And then as the man raised his glass to drink, she turned and looked up to him.
What are you thinking about, Frank?
Oh, the guy over there, across the bay, waiting in the death cell.
What time is it?
He's got 10 minutes to go.
He deserves to die.
Yeah, but if I'd played this case smart, things might have turned out better. Sometimes I wish I'd never been mixed up in it at all. Maybe I ought to give it up, quit making like a private eye. Come on, Julie, let's go home, huh?
All right. You'll see, Frank. In a few minutes when the execution's over, you're going to forget the whole thing.
Sure. Sure, I'll forget it.
As Frank Ferguson and his bride of 24 hours moved across the cocktail lounge toward the elevator, he wondered if he could forget the story at all. Of course, he'd only played a small part in it. Actually, it was Duncan McKay's story. Duncan McKay, head of the largest gambling syndicate west of the Rockies. And Ferguson's thoughts went back to the night it all began. The night months ago, when he arrived at McKay's heavily guarded estate in San Mateo, had been ushered into the billiard room by Jim Slade, McKay's bodyguard.
Mr. McKay?
Yeah, Slade, what is it? Oh, come in, come in.
Shot.
So you're Ferguson, huh?
Yeah, I'm Ferguson.
You know, you don't look like...
I don't look like a private eye. Yeah, that's what they keep telling me. Why'd you send for me, McKay?
Now, they tell me that you're a pretty smart boy.
Let's get to the point, huh?
Sure. The point, Ferguson, is that somebody is out to kill me.
That's news?
All right, I've been threatened before. But this time it's a little different. I received a letter a few days ago, a letter threatening my life.
So why worry? You got a nice setup here. You can hide behind your steel fence and those guards. There isn't a chance of anybody getting close enough to you to do any damage. What are you so nervous about?
I'm not nervous, Ferguson. Let's say I'm amused. My curiosity's been aroused. This whole thing intrigues me.
I don't get it.
Yeah, just a second. Here. Yesterday afternoon's paper. On page 2. There. Pictures and everything.
So a couple of citizens in Frisco received threatening letters. Same as yours?
The same.
Julie Wilson, Albert Dobbs, hat check girl, and a hardware clerk. Friends of yours?
Never saw them before in my life.
She's good looking, Dame.
According to the paper, the Wilson girl doesn't know Dobbs, and he's never heard of her. Now, there it is, Ferguson. 3 strangers. We each get a letter threatening us with death. Now, we don't know why.
There must be some connection.
That's why I hired you, Ferguson. I want you to find out what that link is. What ties me up with a hat check girl and a guy who sells nuts and bolts in some crummy hardware store.
You resent the company, McKay? Is that what bothers you?
At some point in our lives, our paths must have crossed. Somewhere when...
Somewhere along the road, the 3 of you kicked somebody in the teeth. Now there's somebody who wants to introduce you to an embalmer the hard way.
I want you to find out all there is to know about the Wilson Dame and this guy, Albert Dobbs. Where they're from, what they've done, who they know, everything. I want a complete report on both of them.
All right, McKay. See you around. Oh, and don't worry.
I'll take care of everything.
You smile as Ferguson leaves, don't you, McKay? Confident that once he finds out all there is to know about Julie Wilson and Albert Dodd, once the link is established between the three of you, that you'll know who is threatening your life, and then you'll take care of everything. In the days that follow, you wait anxiously for some word from Ferguson. And then finally one evening, he phones.
Thought you better know, McKay. Somebody else received one of those letters. A guy called Bravelli. Gino Bravelli. Know him?
Bravelli? No, never heard of him. But you put him on the list, along with Julie Wilson and that Dobbs guy. Talk to him.
Okay, but Bravelli won't answer.
Why not?
He met with an accident. He's on a slab at the morgue.
Just a minute. The Whistler will continue tonight's story.
You don't like to admit it, do you, McKay? But the news is more than a little disturbing. The news that the killer has claimed his first victim, a man named Bravelli, is dead. A man who, along with Julie Wilson and Albert Dodd, received a threatening letter similar to the one that was sent to you. But the killer will never reach you, will it? Not as long as you remain within the protective walls of your estate, with Jim Slade, your bodyguard, close by your side. You're going to play it safe and wait until you find the link, the tie between you, Julie Wilson, and Albert Dodd. And then you'll go after the killer yourself. As you pace the floor of your library, a thousand questions flash through your mind. Questions you waste little time asking when Ferguson finally
That's
arrives.
That's what I said, McKay. A window washer.
Bravelli, a window washer?
Yeah. Fell out of a 20-story window late yesterday afternoon. It looked like an accident. That is, until the letter came around to his boarding house this morning. The landlady spotted it. The way it was addressed, you know. Called the cops.
Wait a minute. Bravelli was already dead when the letter arrived?
Yeah. The letter was postmarked yesterday at 5 p.m. Bravelli took the dive around 3.
But why mail a letter to a man after you've already killed him?
Maybe the killer saw an opportunity to knock off Bravelli ahead of schedule and took it. It's one way of looking at it.
Uh-huh. There's another?
Yeah. Here's what I think happened. The killer hears about a guy falling out of a building. This gives him an idea. He decides to make you sweat a little, so he writes the letter. Get the picture?
Yeah, I get the picture now. All right, what'd you find out about the others, the Wilson girl, Dobbs?
Oh, yeah. A 10-page report on Julie Wilson. Or a hat-checked girl faces life. She's a sweet kid, McKay.
Is she, Ferguson? How about this hardware clerk, this Albert Dobbs? What'd you dig up on him?
I didn't. He's disappeared.
Disappeared?
Went around to his hotel this afternoon. Clerk told me he packed up and left. Address unknown.
Oh, well, that's fine. That's great.
Don't get excited. I got a couple of ideas I'm going to check on as soon as I get back to town. I'll find him, McKay.
Say that you do. And you call me the minute you line up anything.
Sure.
It's almost 4 in the morning when you finally set aside the report on Julie Wilson. You've been over it again and again, but it has revealed absolutely nothing, not the slightest clue, not a single link to connect your life with that of the girl. But there's still Albert Dobbs, the hardware clerk, isn't there, McKay? Yes. Perhaps in his story you'll find the missing pieces of the puzzle. The days drag on. You wait impatiently for Ferguson to call, but he doesn't. Then one morning, Slade interrupts you at breakfast.
Huh? Yeah, what is this, Slade?
It's about Ferguson, Mr. McKay.
Oh, what about it?
He's been checking up on you.
What?
That's right. Been going around town asking a lot of questions. They're all about you.
I don't like that, Slade. I don't like that at all.
I'm not paying him to pry into my... Wait a minute. How'd you find out?
I've had one of the boys tailing him for a week.
Why, Slade?
I thought it would be a good idea.
Now, what else have you found out?
For one thing, he took a plane to L.A. this morning. The Wilson girl has moved into his apartment while he's gone. He's up to something, Mr. McKay. Maybe she's in it with him.
You never have trusted Ferguson, have you, Slade?
No. Why hasn't he told you he's found Albert Dobbs?
He what?
Yeah. That's something else I found out. My boy tailed him 2 days in a row to a crummy little hotel on Mission Street. Only it wasn't until a couple of hours ago he found out who Ferguson was seeing there.
Dobbs?
Dobbs. Ferguson was talking to the little guy in the lobby.
Oh, we gotta get moving, Slade. Ferguson's a smart operator. If he can fit this puzzle together before I do, he'll have me right behind the eight ball.
Yeah. He gets the story from the girl, from Dobbs, checks on your background, and he's in. He can cause you plenty of trouble, and plenty of money, too.
That may not be what he's got in mind, but I'm not going to take any chances. From now on, I'm going to handle things my way. Tonight, we're going to drop around to Ferguson's apartment and have a nice, long talk with Julie Wilson.
But I tell you, I don't know anything about it. You've got to believe me, Mr. McKay.
Come on, sister.
Take it easy, Slade. You might hurt the pretty lady.
Please. Please, I told you all I know. Now leave me alone.
What did you tell Ferguson? What did you tell him that he forgot to include in his report?
Really, I don't know what you mean.
Now look, it's getting late. My patience is... Well, hello, Ferguson. You, got back from L.A. in a hurry.
What's the idea, McKay?
We, just dropped around to have a friendly chat.
Look, McKay, I don't like guys to call on my girl unless she invites them.
Your girl?
That's what I said.
I don't get you at all, Ferguson. When I showed you her picture in the paper, you didn't know her.
I didn't then. This happened kind of quick between us.
Oh. I see.
I don't think you do, McKay. But whether you do or don't, you can take a powder now and take your ape with you.
Listen, Ferguson, I don't...
Easy, Slade, easy. Don't annoy Mr. Ferguson. His trigger finger's nervous. He might do something rash. Come on. Lucy, you're on, Ferguson. Remember, I still want to talk to you.
A quarter of an hour later, you park your car on Lower Mission Street and wait while Slade hurries into a small, dimly lit hotel. A few minutes, and he's back.
Dobbs is registered under the name of Simpson. Clerk said he hadn't come in yet.
You sure?
It cost me $5. I'm sure.
All right. We'll wait. Give me a cigarette, Slade. I'm out.
Sure. It's after 2:00. Maybe he skipped again.
Maybe. We'll just wait a little while longer. Muse.
What's wrong?
Up ahead there. He just turned the corner. Coming this way.
Could be.
Wait till he walks by.
Simpson!
Yes?
Like to talk to you.
Will you... You're police.
No, we're not the police.
Well, I'm going to...
Now, take it easy, Dobbs. Sorry. We're not going to hurt you.
No, wait. You...
Relax. Now, come on.
Hello, Dobbs.
Who are you?
A handy guy for you to know, if you want a level with me.
Well, I don't understand.
We'll talk about it on the way.
Where are we going?
Out of my place in San Mateo. A nice, quiet, very safe place for both of us, Dobbs.
Both of us?
I think it'd be a good idea for us to have a little talk. Maybe we can add up a few things. Find out who's been trying to kill us.
Us? You mean you two?
Yeah. We're both on the same boat. Now get in, Dobbs. We're wasting time. You sure you want to have a drink, Mr. Dobbs?
No, no, thank you.
All right. Kill you, Dobbs. Yeah?
McKay, just no idea at all.
All right, suppose you start in from the... May all there is to know about Albert Dobbs. Where you're from, where you've been, what you've done, who you know. Everything.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was born in
1898. 1898, huh? You might as well pull up a chair, Slade. It's going to take a long time. But I got a hunch this is going to be worth it.
And now, back to The Whistler.
It's almost dawn now, and you're tired, aren't you, McKay? You lean back wearily in your chair and close your eyes. Listen to the voice of Albert Dobbs as it drones on and on. Names, dates, places. And more names and dates and places. Not a one stirred a single spark in your memory. But the story of Albert Dobbs isn't over yet, is it? Somewhere your paths must have crossed. Somewhere you met the one person who now wants to kill you both.
And I went back to Los Angeles then.
Wait a minute. When was this again?
Well, now let me think. 1929.
All right. 1929, L.A. Where did you live?
On 54th Street, near Figueroa.
Where?
54th Street. I had a small flat near the... And what's the matter, Mr. McKay? Have I said something?
In an instant, your thoughts raced back through the years. Back to that unfortunate little affair on 54th Street in Los Angeles. Over 25 years ago, wasn't it, McKay? You were just one of Galletti's strong-arm boys then, selling protection to small shopkeepers. And that night, your methods of persuasion proved fatal to a man who ran a grocery store. You're confident now that you're on the right track at last. Dobbs, the frightened little man who sits facing you across the desk, has established the link. The rest of his story will supply information you've been looking for. But you don't want your bodyguard, Slade, around to, over here.
Slade.
Yeah, Miss McKay?
Why don't you turn in, huh? Get some sleep?
Oh, that's all right. I don't think I can...
You better turn in, Slade.
Sure. You're the boss.
All right, Dobbs. About 54th Street in L.A. Now, suppose you took... Hello.
McKay, this is Ferguson.
Well, what do you want?
Look, McKay, you can thank Julie for this call. She talked me into it. I was all in favor of letting you sweat.
What are you talking about?
Till I made that trip to L.A., I wasn't sure. I am now. I got your man. Guy was trying to kill you. As soon as I hang up, I'm calling the police.
Wait a minute. You know who's...
Yeah. A guy named Maxwell died in L.A. His brother's been after you for a long time, McKay. But with all that protection you had, he couldn't get close to you. So he figured out a way to get you to come after him.
What?
The letter he sent you. Here's people you'd never heard of. Your curiosity would be aroused. The letter he sent to Julie was a blind. But the one he sent to himself was going to pay off.
To himself?
He'll kill you the first time he gets you alone, McKay. So I thought I ought to warn you. Oh, his real name is Albert Maxwell, but we know him as Albert Dobbs.
But, Dobbs? Dobbs.
That's right, McKay.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, you got me wrong. Slade!
Slade!
Be with us again next week when once again the United States Air Forces in Europe present The Whistler. AFN production by Army PFC Ron Johnson. This is Air Force Sergeant Tom Alford speaking.
The Whistler, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 7th, 1955, originally heard on CBS. That was an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast, putting a cap on this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.